From KALW in San Francisco, I'm Max Jacobs, and this is Liner Notes. Turn it up.
Catch me long as I'm alive. You and me together, we'll survive.
We're hearing a bank robber's nursery rhyme by Goodnight Texas, who will join me today on Liner Notes. Each week, we bring a new artist onto the show to delve into the inspiration behind their work. We'll get to hear all the songs that matter to them and how it came to play in their own music. One of the things I find so interesting about Goodnight Texas is their range of styles, as well as their range of writing. Whether it's songs contemplating home and place, boot-stomping whiskey affairs, or dark explorations into America's ghostly past, they keep you on your toes. For one of the lead singers, Avi Vanoker, hearing Kurt Cobain sing Where Did You Sleep Last Night when he was 10 transformed the way he thought about music. Later, it gave him insight into how a band could embrace so many musical elements.
You can take things that are really polar and they kind of fit all within the color of something. And to me, Nirvana Unplugged was that to a T. And this song is just the pinnacle of it, just giving absolutely everything you have to one performance.
They channel some of that rock energy in their music. But in other songs, the inspiration seems different entirely. Like the song Dearest Sarah off their latest record, a haunting and beautiful song that took Vanoker 8 years to complete. One that's based on a Civil War soldier's letter to his wife in his last days.
To me, this letter, written by Sullivan Ballou in 1861, is the most beautiful piece of American writing.
We're going to hear that one performed in studio, along with the music that helped them along the way. Stay with us. But first, let's turn this one back up.
This is a hold up, mama. I was born to be a bank robber. Head over your last gold dollar.
Welcome to Liner Notes on KLW San Francisco. I'm Max Jacobs, and we just heard A Bank Robber's Nursery Rhyme by Goodnight Texas, who are my guests on the program today. So now I would like to welcome Patrick Dyer-Wolf and Avi Vanoker. How's it going, guys?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being on the show. So you guys are the primary songwriters of the band, but I figured for the audience, if you guys just wanted to tell us also the instruments that you play. Patrick, if you want to start with you.
We both play the same instruments, but it's not weighted the same. I'd say I play the guitar most of the time, the acoustic guitar. I'd say my secondary is the banjo. My tertiary is the mandolin. the baritone acoustic guitar.
Okay.
So that's kind of the rotation we got going.
Yeah, we switch off playing those four instruments. And to varying degrees. I'd say I play mandolin a little bit more than the aforementioned. Whatever he's not playing, I'm usually playing.
I do remember seeing you guys play. There was a lot of trading of things.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw you guys play up in Calistoga, I believe.
Calistoga?
Oh, at the winery?
At the winery, yeah.
Longmeadow?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, and Bottom of the Hill a few years ago as well, too.
That's an entirely different setting.
So, yeah, very, very different. But
Groundhog Day. Was that the one?
We
played there on Groundhog Day. And
smashed an alarm clock.
We did the intro from the movie. Well, we did the scene from the movie Groundhog Day where they smash an alarm clock and the day starts over, and we played the first song twice for the set. We thought it was hilarious. No one really got it, though.
I have to admit, I was not there to see you guys, so it's possible I was not paying full attention. It could have been.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you gotta,
it was kind of one of those slow burners. Maybe people got it after they left.
Yeah.
Well, the set left an impression. I mean, you know, I went back and listened to your music. I just, nice. At first, not paying attention. So
cool. Well, great.
I go to a lot of shows and don't pay attention. So. Yeah.
So we opened the show with one of your songs, and we're going to hear many more of your songs. One of the things that I thought was interesting as I discovered more of your music and did some research about you guys is that it seems like the geography of the band, I mean, where you guys are located, plays a lot into the songwriting. I mean, it plays into the name as well. So, I mean, you guys live across the country from each other. Is that right?
That, yeah.
Correct.
That's true.
So how does that work, and how did that, I mean, how did you guys come to be to collaborate given that?
We met in San Francisco, actually, several years ago. Really started to play music together right before I moved to North Carolina. That was when we really ramped it up. You know, we just, at that point, it was just the two of us. So we, you know, one of us would go across, would fly out one way or the other.
Yeah, we kept, we had a small set of gear at his house and a small set in California, because we only really played like a guitar and a banjo. Mm-hmm. The mandolin you can bring with you and carry on a plane.
So one would come like equipped with music that they'd written themselves, and then...
Yeah, we don't write together very often. Mm-hmm. We usually have, someone has an idea, when we do write together, someone will have like an idea and we'll sit. I'll usually sit at the drums and he'll sit on a guitar or banjo and we'll kind of hash out an order for a song. But since we don't live together, we don't have the chance to do that. So most of our music is written independently.
Well, I thought maybe that would be a good way to start, is to play one of those songs about the song you wrote about California, about leaving it in particular. So,
sure.
Yeah, if you guys want to play California, You're a Hole in My Heart.
Yeah.
Get the old axe.
I think this song is one of a couple that Pat wrote in one day right after he moved to North Carolina. He like sent me a few demos. I was like, whoa. This and the song Submarines.
I think it was on the same day. I go years without writing a song, and then it's just kind of like...
Four in one day.
Vomit. This song is vomit. Oh, California, you're a hole in my heart, a hole in my heart, that I'm gonna have to start to mend, to mend. Carolina is another place to start. It's another place to start. And there are other things around the bend. The bend. The weather report is always too short for what I need. And if Eastern Standard Time soaks into my mind, will I fall, float away, sink back into the bay? Well, so long, California, may we meet again someday. And to the places that we used to live, we can never go back, 'cause we're on a one-way track. We can never go back to call, to call. Yeah, and the beaches we used to walk, they've been washed by sea and air. The ones blew in our hair, and
would you know that we were there at all? At all? Well, I'm selling it short, but I'm not of the sort to sell it long. And if Eastern Standard Time soaks into my mind, will a fog float away and sink back to the bay? So long, California, may we meet again someday.
That was Goodnight Texas performing their song California, You're a Hole in My Heart here on Liner Notes. I'm Max Jacobs.
So we've heard a couple of your songs now, and you guys brought in some music that inspired you guys from early on. And Patrick, what song do you want to play for us?
Well, man, you know, these kind of questions are so tough, but this,
I know, yeah. I asked you for one, yeah. I'm sure it could be several.
For brevity's sake. The song I chose was a Randy Newman song from his live album, which I think is from 1970. The song's called Tickle Me. And, I remember hearing this song when I was a little kid. My dad used to have like a tape or something. And it just, I don't know, it's just such a silly little song but it just has this special place in my musical heart for, you know, made me enjoy music in a roundabout way.
That's from The Bitter End?
That
record is a mainstay in our tour vehicle.
Yeah.
Randy Newman at The Bitter End. It's like you can like hear him pushing his glasses up on his nose.
Yeah.
There's got to be, what, maybe 60 people there?
Yeah.
It has a similar vibe to another one we listen to a lot is the Old Quarter, Live at the Old Quarter, Towns Van Zandt
in
Houston.
Yeah.
Like these I love these shows where you get musicians in like a tiny room.
These people that we sort of think of in a hallowed way, it's just like them in a small room.
Them in a bar.
Yeah.
Well, let's give a little listen to Randy Newman.
What can you do to amuse me now that there's nothing to do? The TV says busted and can't get a picture. The radio plays nothing but news. Why don't you tickle me? Gee whiz, won't that be fine? What a great idea, what a perfect way to kill some time. Can't stop to think, 'cause if we do, we'll lose our mind. Why don't you tickle me? Don't we have fun every minute? Oh, what a gay life we lead. One chocolate milkshake with two straws stuck in it. What else does anyone need? Why don't you tickle me? There's nothing else to do. You won't have to talk to me, and I won't have to talk to you. And when we're done, I'll think of something else to do. Why don't you tickle me?
That was Tickle Me by Randy Newman, a song chosen by one of my guests on KLW's Liner Notes. Avi, you brought in Where Did You Sleep Last Night, the Nirvana Unplugged song, and you had described this song to me earlier as the unfollowable song. So,
yeah. Lore has it, and I that he was asked to do an encore after that was played, and was like, I can't follow that. I mean, and it is. There's no way.
Because
of
his voice, or just because he just
no,
stole
just
the show?
I think he just no. I just think it was like, just like so. It was a terminus. It was over after that. There's no yeah. song that can go after that. That song. It's like the darkest song
yeah.
of all time. And he really made it dark. Like the actual original recordings of Lead Belly don't sound particularly dark and mm-hmm. ominous. But yeah, I would not want to play after that.
Yeah,
personally.
That's where I figured we'd play the Randy Newman first, you know, and yeah. then...
Poor Randy Newman.
Good thing Nirvana.
Follow that one. Actually, you know what? If you're going to follow Nirvana, if you're going to follow that, I think Randy Newman's Tickle Me might be the one that would really make it, really bring it home. That
encore.
If Kurt Cobain came out and played Tickle Me by Randy Newman, I just all bets are off. All bets are up. But I mean, that was it, man. That was, you know, what, 6 months before he died and they recorded that? I mean, that was it. And that was the last. Yeah. I mean, they went on tour again in Europe in February, I think, but.
It's pretty heavy.
I mean, that was, yeah. Yeah.
How old were you when you heard it?
I was about 10 years old. I think it was 9. And it had a big impact on me. I didn't totally understand it at first because I had heard Nirvana, but I was kind of just getting into and understanding music. And then I don't know, there's something about, well, like when I was 3 years old, my dad passed away. And so I kind of became attached to everything, like to like physical things. And also like, you know, looking at pictures and trying to like put myself in the position of what it was like to be alive with that, or what I would say to that person, or what that person sort of left behind to explain themselves. And so Nirvana became this interesting thing for me where I felt like I was almost researching, like, what was it like to, like, see them live? What would it have been like to, mm-hmm. you know, be in a world where he was still around? I was just one of the early... Yeah, the music took a whole new turn for me of this antique relic, even though it was brand new. It was a few years old.
But, yeah.
Yeah, there was... And then when I finally heard the Unplugged thing, because I was... when I finally found that, it was just like, oh, my God. It's the perfect cap to what they did. Just it's such a departure. It just showed how much potential he had to create and to just to experiment, like to find a completely different sound that fits in with Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow that worked its way into my head with this band. When we have different sort of sonic things, you know, folky stuff and acoustic, you know, kind of banjo picking southern stuff. But then we have sort of this baritone kind of heavier side that's more influenced by rock and sort of dark Nirvana. And it's kind of like you can take things that are really polar and they kind of fit all within the color of something. And to me, Nirvana Unplugged was that to a T. And this song is just the pinnacle of his just giving absolutely everything you have to one performance.
Never was found. My girl.
I'd like to get into some more of you guys' music, and I actually think, despite the fact that it's an unfollowable song, one of your guys' songs, I'm Going to Work on Maggie's Farm Forever, is actually a pretty good segue. You know, one of the things that I found really interesting about your guys' music is the diversity of songwriting. And I've noticed in the last, you know, 10 or so years, there's a lot of bands who are... they're making music that is, I don't know if you want to call it throwback, you know, or they're involving a lot of instrumentation from older styles of music. You know, a friend coined the term, you know, like nostalgia folk. And there's a lot of bands that I hear kind of vaguely singing songs about trains and working hard, you know, but in a very like romantic way. And I've always thought of you guys as a very different band from that, because there's a lot of specific storytelling. You know, like this is a very gritty song. You know, there's nothing romantic about it. I mean, it's essentially about slavery, right?
Yeah, it is. That's what I pictured. The other side of the uprisings and revolutions that don't succeed and don't get written about.
Yeah,
and you know, you'd always like to say I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more, but it's probably not what happened.
Yeah. It was actually at this same show in which I was going to see the other band. And I heard you guys start to play this song, and I turned to someone and was like, oh, they're doing a cover of that Bob Dylan song. And then I started listening. I was like, no, this is actually much different. But is nice. what was the reference to that in the song?
I've heard his song for years. I sort of had an idea to what would be the opposite of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and keep the theme of Maggie's Farm alive. I had gotten really into like the Civil War history and the history of slavery and the slave trade in America. I mean, you know, Maggie's Farm definitely could be interpreted as a plantation.
Yeah.
In the Deep South. Yeah, I think a lot of songs I feel like come to me almost as like a joke. We have a song called Santa Cruz that is, I mean, I had every rhyme line, every line rhyme. And it was like, I just thought it'd be funny to do that. And then eventually it became this serious song. Like, I started out just singing it to my girlfriend, like, yeah, baby, don't go to Santa Cruz. I'll get the blues if you go to Santa Cruz. And then it was like, well, and then it became serious. This too was like, oh, it'd be kind of funny to do, like, I'm going to work on Maggie's farm forever. And then it was like, well, actually, this could be taken very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of an accident.
And
but,
this is much a part of our history is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some kind of link between humor and just like truth and humanity.
Yeah.
I think it's good to tap into when you're being creative.
It's a shortcut.
Creative.
It's a wormhole in the brain. It goes from one portal to another, part of the brain to another.
I worked in her fields and under her trees. I picked all her cotton, it stung me like bees. I shoveled her dirt when no one else would. I gave her way more than I ever should. And I'm still here with nothing whatsoever. So I'm gonna work on Maggie's farm. My knuckles for nothing at all. And I've worked on my knees till I couldn't crawl. And I felt so worthless I can hardly recall a time before she had me trapped in the wall. But the odds of me leaving are slim to almost never. I'm gonna work on Maggie's farm forever. Myself in the darkest of nights. A freedom above me where all is alright. But I wake up so cold on a cracked wooden floor that I've got to admit I'm not sure anymore. Yeah, I live in an endless misery. However, I'm gonna work on Maggie's farm forever. I dream to myself with no one around, of burning her plantation down to the ground, and watching her scream from her third story room. Light up my shovel, wheelbarrow and broom, all burned to the point you could never exhume, the filthiest past one could ever entomb. And her ashes would smolder the finest perfume, if I had the strength to get out of this room. But I know no other living whatsoever. I'm gonna work on Maggie's farm forever. Yeah, I'm gonna work on Maggie's farm.
It's Liner Notes on KLW San Francisco. I'm Max Jacobs. The last song we heard was I'm Going to Work on Maggie's Farm Forever by the band Goodnight Texas off their first record, A Long Life of Living, from 2012. They've been joining me in studio. Another song that you guys brought in was a Gillian Welch song. And so it's interesting, Gillian Welch, we've definitely played her on the show before, but it seems like everyone has a different reason for what has been inspiring about her. So what is it for you guys?
I don't know. I would say it's a couple different things for me. The song that we chose was a song called Hard Times from her album from a couple years ago. In particular, there's this one verse, I think it's the second verse. I think it goes, we're supping on tears and we're supping on wine. We all get to heaven in our own sweet time. And just as far as lines that kind of like sum it all up, that's got to be like one of my favorite ones. Just like, yeah, we get there.
And in the spirit of collaboration too, I mean, we tend to get inspired, at least when I listen to that song, to replace the affectionate words at the end of each sentence with some sort of other sort of endearing term. For example, hard times ain't gonna rule my mind. Schnookums, hard times ain't gonna rule my mind.
Baba?
Boopy? It's just like, I mean...
You just do that all day.
I mean, yeah. We actually did that, I think, on the entire Mini Red back from some lunch we ate today. I mean, it's, you know, there's infinite possibilities there.
Not all songwriting genius is worthy of Milton.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was listening to it on the way over here, and she does, yeah, she says Bessie at the end.
Bessie?
Yeah. And I was like, only she could pull that off where, like... Yeah, it would just sound comical to anyone.
Times ain't gonna rule my mind, Manuel.
see,
just like it's infinite.
Yeah,
you can just throw any name out there. I mean, it's great. I mean, especially it's even funnier if it doesn't have two syllables. I found. Go ahead and try that one,
Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, let's play "Hard Times" by Gillian Welch. We'll listen for that line that you mentioned, Patrick, and of course, we'll listen for the affectionate words as well.
There was a captain man who used to plow and sing. He loved that mule, and the mule loved him. When the day got long, as it does about now, I'd hear him singing to his muley cow, calling, come on, my sweet old girl, and I'd bet the whole damn world, and we're gone. From the cracks in the floor.
Liner Notes on KALW San Francisco.
I wanted to talk specifically about another song on your newest album, Uncle John Farquhar, and it's called Dear Sarah. And when I saw you guys more recently, you played it and talked a little bit about it beforehand, and I thought it was very interesting. I mean, this song essentially is. Is coming from a letter written by a Civil War soldier to their wife before the soldier dies, but he's sort of predicting this. And, you know, if you hadn't told me the story of that, I almost would have found it, I think, unbelievable. You know, it's like, I mean, it's a really moving song, you know, but it's kind of hard to believe.
Yeah. I still struggle to completely believe that something like the Civil War could even happen in America.
Mm-hmm.
So to picture that happening nowadays is crazy. Not to mention how these brilliant minds who died so young, like Sullivan Blue, who wrote that letter to his wife. It's like, God, people could write so well back then.
Yeah.
It's like, where'd that go?
How did you discover this in the first place?
Yeah. Like, what if his letter was like, Sarah, hey, it's been rough. I don't know if I'm going to come back, but I'll text you. Just chilling. If I die, you know, raise our kids. It's like the 21st century is just, there's no beauty to it. See, back then he's like, Sarah, my love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence could break. It's like, I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, it's just so beautiful. And this is, to me, this letter written by Sullivan Ballou in 1861 is the most beautiful piece of American writing. And it's so circumstantial and powerful. I don't know. It moved me. And that's why I wrote this song. I actually spent a long time trying to write this song and trying to take pieces and words from it and work them into some sort of singable melody. And it took a while to actually get the song completely together.
Were you nervous about how it would come off?
Sort of, yeah.
Given that you placed such importance.
It's really touchy. I mean, you can't. It has to be really honest and genuine. It has to sound appropriate too. It has to sound like the lonesomeness of dying in a field, I suppose. And picturing your family at home and what their next 80 years are going to be like without you. I mean, to sit and write something, it's like at that moment in time, I can't even imagine.
Great. Well, you guys are going to do this one in studio for us. So
sure.
Yeah, let's hear Dearest Sarah.
All right. Dearest Sarah, I'm compelled to write with aching, fearful hands, just in case I never make it back. I left our family weeks ago for battle-stricken lands, and I fear I won't survive the next attack. I fled Rhode Island willingly to join the Union force, understanding I may never know my boys. But this country's strength of government is in a great divorce, and for this I risk my life and all its joys.
Oh, Sarah, I do understand within my sacrifice goes nearly every joy for you as well. But I hope you sense within my words I thought about it twice, but our nation casts a thick, momentous spell. Oh, Sarah, start a life without me, raise our boys to gentlemen, and thrive until the day you pass away and we can meet again. Understand my inner fight, I didn't choose the war. I sided with democracy, yes, that is what I'm dying for, oh Sarah, but my love for you is deathless. Oh Sarah, my love for you is deathless. Growing up without my father weighed heavy on my brain, and I dread this makes my children dance that waltz. And I'm sure at times your trust was breached and your love for me did wane, but I ask you to forgive me for these faults. And I can't express the irony of the peaceful summer breeze dusting my battalion as they rest. 'Cause within this evening's warmness lies a dark and icy freeze that whispered me to send you this request. Oh, Sarah, start a life without me, raise our boys to gentlemen, and thrive until the day you pass away and we can meet again. Understand my inner fight, I didn't choose the war. I sided with democracy, yes, that is what I'm dying for, oh Sarah, but my love for you is deathless. Oh Sarah, it's deathless. Hundred thousand paying all that we can pay, standing for an object we can't see. Now raise our children proudly to be gracious for each day and remind them of the reasons they are free. And if it's true the dead can drift unseen around the loves they had, then I will be the wind upon your cheek. And the darkest moments in your life will never be so bad, 'cause I will be your strength when you are weak. Oh, Sarah, start a life without me, raise our boys to gentlemen, and thrive until the day you pass away and we can meet again. Understand my inner fight, I didn't choose the war. I sided with democracy, yes, that is what I'm dying for, oh Sarah, but my love for you is deathless. Oh Sarah, my love for you is deathless. Oh Sarah, my love for you is deathless. Oh Sarah, my love for you is deathless.
We just heard Dearest Sarah, performed in studio by Goodnight Texas, today's guest on Liner Notes. Let's tune back into our conversation.
So another musical influence song that you guys have brought in is a song by Shovels and Rope, or, well, I guess it's before they were technically Shovels and Rope, but they were still just known as Carrie Ann Hurst and Michael Trent, but they've now become Shovels and Rope. So you guys said that seeing them live was a
big influence on us. Yeah, we went and saw them at a small bar in Charlotte, North Carolina, on a day off on tour down in the South. It was like, wow, like who, like just the genuine honesty and the sense of humor and the fun and the amount they can accomplish with such little with such a small amount of instruments, just drums and
two people with a old kick drum and a snare yeah. drum and a cymbal 5 feet behind them and just playing the guitar. Yeah. It's like
that show was very, very moving for me. It was just kind of like, wow, it kind of changed my perspective on how you can make things fun and dark too. And how much melody matters too. Like they really, she uses melody. Like she'll hit some incredible notes and with such, I don't know, such a deep
gusto.
Deep with con brio, you know what I mean?
Con molto brio.
I don't know. It was so much fun to see them live and just drink some whiskey and watch that band play to their native area. Not that they're from Charlotte, but they play in the South.
Yeah, yeah. They're from
Charleston.
Charleston. Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense to me because, I mean, I think you guys have some good songs that evoke that same, you know, boot stomping, drink whiskey type vibe.
Oh, shucks.
So
good. We succeeded in ripping them off.
Is there a song of yours that you would like to play with it that you think conjures that?
Yeah, I think after that show, when we kind of came back, we had a couple days later in North Carolina at his old house. We kind of just sat there, you know, playing with a kick drum and a guitar and kind of doing kind of bouncy kind of riffs and simple stuff. And I think we sort of wrote the beginnings of what ended up becoming the song Button Your Collar that's on our new record.
Great. Well, let's hear them together. Let's start with Gasoline by Carrion Hurst and Michael Trent, and then we'll hear Button Your Collar by Goodnight Texas.
Perfect.
Troops, 'cause we're heading out. every dollar, cause if you stay, then nobody's going to go. Oh no. What do you say? We get wise. Take a bottle of bourbon. The fireflies. Going to go. Dollar, cause if you stay, then nobody's going to go. Get dressed, button your collar, and call everyone that you know. Round up every dollar, cause if you stay, then nobody's going to go.
Button Your Collar is the last song we heard by my guest, Goodnight Texas. Gasoline by Carrie Ann Hurst and Michael Trent was right before that one.
We have time for just one more song, and we had opened with one of your songs, or one of the first songs we played in the show was about you leaving California, and so you guys also have a song about Chapel Hill, which I thought would be a good way to end the show. If you guys can clarify for me, I mean, you're singing on this song, Avi, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Did you write this song?
I did. I wrote this in Denver Airport on a flight to Chapel Hill as a poem.
Oh, I see.
And yeah, I was just kind of, I was in kind of a bad place, or not a bad place, but I wasn't particularly happy at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like just anxious, and there was something great about escaping into the woods in mm-hmm. North Carolina and never coming back that seemed very appealing, which is kind of what Pat did in moving out there.
Yeah, I never came back.
Yeah.
Never going back.
But yeah, it was... So, I don't know. There was something very appealing about that at that point in time in my life.
Okay.
And
I thought maybe he wrote the song for you, and that's how... I was just curious how it came to be. But you were going to visit him.
Yeah, I wrote the song about sort of the strange little forest area that he lived in.
Well, let's go out with let's go out with North Carolina and Chapel Hill.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
No, thank you guys.
Thanks so much.
It's been a lot of fun to hear more about your music and hear the stuff that you guys listen to. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
Before we hear Chapel Hill, a reminder to check out our website at klw.org to find out what's ahead for the show and to get more information about Goodnight Texas. They'll be starting a West Coast tour next month, coming through San Francisco on February 19th to play the Great American Music Hall. This program is a production of KLW in San Francisco. Kevin Vance was the studio engineer. I hope you'll consider joining us next week for a new artist, a new set of records, and a new story. It's Liner Notes.
I've gone to Chapel Hill if you're looking. I snuck out like a thief in the night, and I'm riding the back roads through endless oak trees, going further and further from sight. Now I am the boy in the schoolhouse, so remote in the lost countryside.
wanna come find me there. Oh, it may be a difficult ride. It ought to make it easier on you. Ooh. It ought to make it easier on you. People out here are unlike you. Not that I want them. So gentle and clear, and they've brought out the sweetheart in me. Yeah, they've brought out the sweetheart in me. Yeah, I'm not like the boy you remember. I'm relaxed and I'm satisfied. And I've come to terms with the object of failure. Setting past heartache aside. Ooh, it ought to make it easier on you. Ooh, it ought to make it easier on you. I've gone to Chapel Hill if they ask you. Tell them I wish they were here. And it was not them that I tried to escape from, but I dreamed of a future unclear. And if anyone wishes to chase me, it would probably do them no good. Cause the reason I'm here is the same reason that I was someone they never understood. Ooh, it ought to make it easier on.